At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome back to Blake Winchester Loves America the Most. In this next segment, Blake Winchester channels the spirit of the Founding Fathers into an epic showdown of skill, patriotism, and questionable safety standards. The Patriot Games are here, and the stakes couldn't be higher as HOA tyranny takes the field. Grab your flags, Patriots. This is freedom like you've never seen it before.
Patriots, there comes a time in every man's life when he must prove his worth not with words, but with deeds. For the great warriors of history, this meant battles on the field. For the founding fathers, it meant writing documents that shook the foundations of tyranny. For me, it meant the Patriot Games. What began as a simple celebration of liberty turned into the most chaotic and, dare I say, humbling moment of my life. A moment that taught me a lesson so profound, so transformative, that it would change the course of my destiny forever. It all started when Winchestervania was riding high on the success of our court victory. The walls were up, the cannon was polished, and the alliance of backyard nations was stronger than ever. But I wanted more. I wanted to show the world that Winchestervania wasn't just a symbol of freedom. It was a cultural powerhouse. And what better way to do that than by hosting an event so patriotic, so unapologetically American, that it would make even the most jaded HOA member shed a tear of liberty? Thus, the Patriot Games were born. The concept was simple. A series of backyard competitions designed to showcase the skills and values that made America great. We'd have lawnmower races, cannonball accuracy contests, and a fireworks choreography showdown. The games would culminate in the ultimate test of patriotism. The Freedom Feast, a competitive eating event featuring apple pie, ribs, and hot dogs. It was going to be glorious. But as with all great ideas, there was one problem. Sandra, from the moment she heard about the games, she made it her mission to shut them down. When her usual arsenal of cease and desist letters and zoning complaints didn't work, she did something I never expected. She formed an HOA team. Now, I didn't take her seriously at first. What could a bunch of rule-obsessed bureaucrats possibly bring to the table? But on the morning of the games, as I stood on my makeshift podium, an upside-down wheelbarrow, I saw them march onto the field in matching polos emblazoned with the Liberty Pines HOA logo. Sandra, flanked by her team, waved a clipboard like it was a battle flag. "Blake," she said, her voice dripping with smugness, "you may have won in court, but today we're going to show you what real organization looks like." "Organization doesn't win freedom," I shot back. "Heart does." The crowd, mostly made up of my supporters from the Alliance of Backyard Nations, erupted into cheers. But deep down, I felt a twinge of unease. Sandra was up to something. I just didn't know what. The games began with the lawnmower race, a high-octane event that saw competitors tearing through a makeshift track lined with red, white, and blue bunting. I entered my prized mower, the Liberty Chariot, a souped-up machine with flames painted on the side and a flagpole mounted to the back. I was confident until I saw what the HOA team had brought. Sandra's mower wasn't just a mower. It was a tank, equipped with oversized wheels, reinforced blades, and what looked suspiciously like a nitrous oxide system. It plowed through the track like a bulldozer, leaving me and the Liberty Chariot eating dust. I could feel the momentum shifting, but I wasn't ready to give up. Next came the cannonball accuracy contest, a test of precision and power. This was my event. After all, no one knew my cannon better than I did. I lined up the shot, aimed for the target, and let it rip. The cannon roared, and the ball hit dead center. The crowd went wild. But then it was Sandra's turn. Instead of firing her team's cannon, she unveiled what can only be described as a mechanical monstrosity, a hybrid between a pitching machine and a trebuchet. With pinpoint accuracy, it launched a cannonball straight through the target, shattering it into 1,000 pieces. By the time we reached the fireworks choreography contest, my confidence was in shambles. I had planned an elaborate display set to the Star-Spangled Banner, complete with synchronized bursts and a finale featuring a flaming eagle outline. It was beautiful, but Sandra's team, oh, they took things to another level. They had drones that flew through the fireworks, creating patterns in the sky that spelled out HOA rules and Winchestervania who. It was a humiliating masterpiece. Finally, we arrived at the Freedom Feast. This was my last chance to turn things around. The rules were simple. Eat as much as you could in 15 minutes. I took my place at the table, flanked by fellow patriots who were ready to devour their weight in apple pie and ribs. But just as the timer started, disaster struck. Sandra had sabotaged the feast. The hot dogs were ice cold. The ribs were drenched in so much hot sauce that they were nearly inedible. And the apple pies? Store-bought, with the Made in Canada stickers still on them. My team struggled to choke down the tainted food, while the HOA smugly picked at their pre-packed salads, claiming victory by default. By the end of the games, it was clear I had lost. Sandra and her HOA team took home the trophy, a tacky gold statue of a lawn flamingo, which she waved triumphantly as the crowd dispersed. As I sat on the field, staring at the remnants of my dream, I felt something I hadn't felt in years. Defeat. The Patriot Games, which were supposed to be a celebration of freedom, had become a symbol of everything I had failed to achieve. That night, as I sat in my backyard, nursing a warm Budweiser and staring at the flickering lights of the Liberty Bell replica, I realized something. Maybe it wasn't just Sandra. Maybe I had let my ego get in the way. I had turned Winchestervania into a spectacle, a stage for my own ambitions, rather than a true sanctuary for freedom. It was a humbling moment, one that forced me to confront the flaws in my vision. But it was also a turning point, because if there's one thing I've learned, it's that failure isn't the end. It's just the beginning of a new chapter. Patriots, this isn't where my story ends. This is where it begins again. Because no matter how many games I lose, no matter how many flamingos Sandra waves in my face, I will never stop fighting for what I believe in. And so, with a heavy heart and a newfound sense of purpose, I began planning my next move. Patriots, after my crushing defeat at the Patriot Games, I found myself at a crossroads. It wasn't just the loss that stung. It was the humiliation, the realization that Sandra and her band of clipboard-wielding tyrants had not only outplayed me, but done so with the smug satisfaction of bureaucrats who had never once experienced the thrill of real freedom. I spent weeks licking my wounds, pacing the grounds of Winchestervania like a general surveying the aftermath of a lost battle. But then it hit me. Every great leader, every visionary, whoever dared to dream big, has faced adversity. And how do we remember them? Through the power of storytelling. If George Washington had Valley Forge and Abraham Lincoln had the Gettysburg Address, then I would have Freedom Falls, but Rises Again, a cinematic masterpiece that would immortalize my struggle for liberty and vindicate my vision for Winchestervania. The plan was simple, or so I thought. I would write, produce, and star in a film so inspiring, so undeniably American, that it would bring Sandra and her clipboard cronies to their knees. It would be part biopic, part action epic, and part love story with a budget of whatever I could scrounge together. What could go wrong? The first step was securing funding. With most of my savings tied up in cannon repairs and Liberty Bell upgrades, I turned to my loyal followers for help. I launched a crowdfunding campaign titled Bring Blake's Vision to Life, the Freedom Falls Movie Project, offering perks like signed Winchestervania flags, replica cannonballs, and, for the highest donors, a personalized thank you video from Liberty the Dog. The response was overwhelming. Within weeks, I had raised enough to rent some basic film equipment, hire a local crew, and secure my lead actor, a semi-retired soap opera star named Trent Masters, who had been recommended by my cousin, Sheila. Trent had the look I wanted, chiseled jawline, piercing blue eyes, and a mane of perfectly coiffed hair that practically screamed, "Freedom!" I quickly set about writing the script, pouring my heart and soul into every line. The story began with a dramatic reenactment of my early days in Winchestervania, raising the walls, constructing the Liberty Bell replica, and rallying the people to my cause. The climax, of course, was the courtroom showdown, with me delivering my now iconic speech about the indomitable spirit of liberty. And to give the film some emotional weight, I added a fictional love interest named Abigail, a fiery journalist who believed in my vision and wasn't afraid to fight for the truth. Trent, however, had other ideas. "Blake," he said during our first script read-through, "this is great, really. But you know what would take it to the next level? Aliens." I stared at him, unsure if he was serious. "Aliens?" "Think about it," Trent continued, gesturing wildly with his coffee cup. "What if Winchestervania wasn't just a backyard nation? What if it was Earth's last line of defense against an extraterrestrial invasion? We could have spaceships, laser cannons, maybe even a scene where you negotiate a peace treaty with the alien overlord." "Trent," I said slowly, "this is a story about patriotism and freedom, not laser cannons." "Exactly," he said, "and nothing says freedom like saving the planet." Despite my reservations, Trent's enthusiasm was infectious, and before I knew it, we were rewriting the script. Abigail was transformed from a journalist into an astrophysicist who discovered the alien plot, and my trusty cannon was upgraded into a futuristic weapon capable of taking down alien motherships. The title was changed to Freedom Falls, Rise of the Resistance, and the budget ballooned to include green screen effects, homemade alien costumes, and a fog machine I borrowed from Dave. Filming began in my backyard with scenes that ranged from dramatic monologues in front of the Liberty Bell to Trent, shirtless, firing the laser cannon at an alien invader played by my neighbor Carl in a silver jumpsuit. The highlight, however, was the climactic battle sequence, which involved me standing atop the wall of Winchestervania, rallying my troops, a dozen volunteers from the Alliance of Backyard Nations, to fight off the alien menace. Unfortunately, the battle didn't go quite as planned. The fog machine overheated, obscuring the set in a thick, choking haze. One of the alien costumes caught fire when Trent got too close to a sparkler cannon, and Carl tripped over a garden hose mid-charge, sending the alien mothership, a cardboard box covered in tinfoil, crashing to the ground. By the time we wrapped filming, morale was at an all-time low. Trent was demanding a higher percentage of the profits, Carl was threatening to sue for emotional distress, and Sandra, who had been watching the chaos unfold from her porch, filed yet another noise complaint. But I pressed on, determined to see the project through. The premiere of Freedom Falls, Rise of the Resistance, was held in my backyard with a projector screen set up against the side of my house. Dozens of supporters showed up, decked out in Winchestervania gear and waving tiny flags. As the film began, I felt a surge of pride. This was my story, my vision, brought to life. But as the opening credits rolled, it became clear that something was off. The editing was choppy, the sound was muffled, and the special effects, well, let's just say the alien laser beams looked suspiciously like glitter glue. The audience, initially enthusiastic, grew quieter with each passing scene, until the only sound was the occasional cough or awkward shuffle. The final straw came during the climactic battle, when Trent delivered his big speech. We fight not for one backyard, but for all of humanity. As he raised the laser cannon, the screen froze, then cut to black. The projector had overheated. I stood there staring at the darkened screen as my supporters exchanged uncomfortable glances. Someone coughed. Carl muttered, "Well, that was something," before slinking off into the night. Even Liberty the dog, my ever-loyal Secretary of Defense, refused to make eye contact. Sandra, of course, couldn't resist twisting the knife. "Nice try, Blake," she said, smirking as she walked past me. "Maybe stick to building walls." That night, as I sat alone in the glow of the Liberty Bell replica, I felt a sense of failure, deeper than anything I'd experienced at the Patriot Games. My dream of turning my defeat into a cinematic triumph had collapsed under the weight of its own ambition. But as I reflected on the experience, I realized something important. Failure isn't just about falling short. It's about learning, about pushing boundaries, even if it means crashing through them like a cardboard alien mothership. And though Freedom Falls, Rise of the Resistance didn't become the blockbuster I'd hoped for, it taught me a lesson I'll carry with me forever. Patriots, no great nation lasts forever. Rome fell, the British Empire faded, and now the day has come for Winchestervania. As much as it pains me to admit, the walls of liberty I built with my own two hands are coming down, not in triumph, but in resignation. This is the story of how my dream of backyard sovereignty met its end. A tale of ambition, hubris, and the cold, unyielding reality of bureaucracy. It all started with the aftermath of Freedom Falls, Rise of the Resistance. The failed film premiere had left my supporters disheartened, my reputation bruised, and Sandra emboldened. The HOA was relentless, flooding my mailbox with fines for everything from unauthorized structures to excessive patriotism. My crowdfunding money had dried up, and even the Alliance of Backyard Nations had grown quiet. It was as though everyone saw the writing on the wall before I did. The final blow came in the form of a certified letter delivered by the Sheriff's Department. Sandra and the HOA had filed a new lawsuit, this time not just to dismantle Winchestervania, but to seize my property as reparations for damages caused by reckless backyard governance. They claimed my cannon fire had cracked sidewalks, my anthem broadcasts had violated noise ordinances, and my Freedom Feast eating contest had resulted in an influx of raccoons attracted to improperly disposed ribs. Patriots, let me tell you, there's nothing more humiliating than being accused of harboring a rib-loving raccoon militia. But as I read through the lawsuit, the enormity of the situation began to sink in. This wasn't just another petty HOA battle. This was the end game. For weeks, I tried to rally support. I hosted emergency cookouts, offered free Winchestervania citizenship to anyone willing to join the fight, and even launched a desperate GoFundMe campaign titled Save the Nation, Save the Dream. But the magic was gone. The people who once cheered for me were now tired of the drama. Even Dave, my vice president and trusted lawnmower mechanic, had started referring to Winchestervania in the past tense. The final court date arrived on a gray, rainy morning. I wore my best suit, the same one I'd worn during the original Winchestervania trial. But this time, it felt heavier, as though the fabric itself knew what was coming. Sandra sat at the plaintiff's table, flanked by her lawyers, and an entire folder of grievances. My side of the room was empty, save for Liberty the dog, who sat stoically by my feet, her head resting on my boot. The judge didn't waste any time. She reviewed the evidence, listened to Sandra's arguments, and then turned to me. "Mr. Winchester," she said, her tone equal parts exhaustion and pity, "do you have anything to say in your defense?" I stood, gripping the Waffle House menu that still served as Winchestervania's constitution. "Your Honor," I began, my voice cracking, "Winchestervania was never about breaking rules or causing trouble. It was about freedom, about the right to dream big, even when the world tells you not to. I may have made mistakes. I may have fired a cannon too many times or underestimated the dangers of raccoons. But everything I did for liberty." The judge sighed. "Mr. Winchester, I appreciate your passion, but this is not a matter of liberty. This is a matter of property law." With that, she ruled in favor of the HOA. Winchestervania was ordered to be dismantled within 30 days, and I was required to pay thousands in fines and legal fees. The dream was over. The following weeks were a blur of dismantling and goodbyes. The walls came down first, piece by piece, until my backyard was once again just a backyard. The Liberty Bell replica, too damaged to move, was hauled away to the junkyard, though I managed to keep a small chunk of it as a memento. The cannon, my beloved symbol of resistance, was sold to a local Civil War reenactment group for a fraction of what it was worth. On the final night of Winchestervania's existence, I stood in the empty backyard, clutching a bottle of cheap bourbon and staring at the spot where the Liberty Bell once stood. The silence was deafening. No cannon fire, no anthems, no cheering crowds, just the faint hum of Sandra's porch light next door. "Why did you even try?" I whispered to myself, though I wasn't sure if I was asking the question or answering it. But then, as the last embers of my dream flickered in the cool night air, Liberty the dog padded over and rested her head on my knee. And in that moment, I realized something. Winchestervania wasn't just a backyard nation. It was proof that I could dream big, fail spectacularly, and still have the courage to stand up and try again. The next morning, as I watched the final remnants of my walls being carted away, Sandra appeared at the edge of my property. For the first time in years, she didn't look smug. She looked sympathetic. "I never wanted it to come to this," she said, her voice soft. "But you left me no choice." I nodded, too tired to argue. "I know." She hesitated for a moment, then added, "For what it's worth, Blake, you made things interesting." And with that, she turned and walked away, leaving me alone with the rubble of my dream. Patriots, The story of Winchestervania is over, but the lessons it taught me will live on forever. I may have lost the backyard, the walls, and even the Liberty Bell, but I gained something far more important. The knowledge that failure is not the end. It's just another step in the journey. What comes next? I don't know yet, but I do know this. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I will carry the spirit of Winchestervania with me. Because freedom isn't a place. It's a state of mind. God bless Winchestervania. God bless Liberty the dog. And God bless America.
You've been listening to the Freedom Flame Podcast Network, where truth burns brighter than the lies of the mainstream. If you haven't subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Real patriots don't hesitate. They take action. They stand tall. They hit that subscribe button like their freedom depends on it, because it does. Don't be the weak link in the chain of liberty. Subscribe now, or spend the rest of your days explaining why you let your country down when it needed you most. The Freedom Flame is watching. America is watching. Make the right choice now.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.